Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
My friends, welcome. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for spending part of your Monday evening with me. And boy, we had some great broadcasting today. One of you was mentioning that you heard me on the Terry and Jesse show. They're good friends from many years, and they had me on again today. And then, of course, if you tune into Right Side Broadcasting Network, we just had at 8 o'clock a half hour of prayer for the president and the nation. And now I want to come to with you again, and we'll discuss a few other key ideas. And as you know, I've been inviting you and others to pray with me in reparation for the evils of the Democrat Party. You know what the other side does when we start shining the light on their corruption, whether it's in the swamp in Washington, D.C., or in the Democrat Party itself, they try to change the subject. That's all they can do. They can't defend the evil that they do. They just try to change the subject. But you and I know what to focus on. Let me know where you're from, excuse me, as you join in with us. It's always good to see where you're from. Last night, people were telling me where they have met me over the course of the years in my travels, and that's always fun to remember the different events where we've been together on the road, and look forward to the events where we will be together in the future as well. So thank you. We're going to pray. And I want to start with a prayer that for President Trump, which you can find at prayercampaign.org. And you'll see a link to it there, prayercampaign.org. I wrote this prayer, and I want to say it for the president and then pray spontaneously a little bit in reparation for there's no words to describe how evil, the kind of evil that the Democrat Party embraces. And you notice I always speak in terms of the Democrat Party, and when I say the Democrats, you know, those that are in the leadership of the party, those that are in Congress, those that are shaping the direction of the party. This is where our concern goes. And then, of course, those who know the policies. A lot of people, you know, on both sides of the political aisle, they may support a party and they've never read the platform, or they don't know even what the party stands for. But those who do know and are trying, for example, to support abortion or to support communism and socialism and open borders and all the wacky policies, wacky and dangerous and evil policies that the left embraces, they're the ones that are doing damage, and we're praying for their repentance, conversion, for praying for reparation. So, would you pray with me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, you are the ruler of every nation. And in your providence, you guide the course of world events. In your wisdom, you have established civil authority and have given us the freedom to elect our leaders. Your Son, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has instructed us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Your word furthermore instructs us to pray for all in authority, that we may lead peaceful and tranquil lives in all godliness and devotion. We ask you therefore to bless and protect all who govern us. We pray not only that they will walk in the way of salvation, but that their decisions and policies may protect us, our nation, our families, and our future. In particular, bless President Donald J. Trump. Give him holy wisdom. Surround him with your angels of protection. And provide him the strength to carry out his duties each day. We thank you for the strength you have given him to fulfill his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And we thank you for all the good you have accomplished through his service. Thank you for the commitment he has shown and the progress he made to eliminate corruption from the seat of power in Washington, D.C., to secure the borders and strengthen the military of our nation, to frustrate those who plan terrorist attacks on our homeland, to foster law and order in our communities, to protect our citizens from the current pandemic, to restore and strengthen our economy, to promote honesty and fairness in our trade agreements, to appoint to our courts judges who will faithfully apply our Constitution and laws as they are written, to defend the lives of the unborn from the violence of abortion, to improve our health care system, to properly care for our veterans, to defend the sacred heritage and safety of Israel and the good of all our allies, and to promote and defend the freedom of all citizens in the United States and throughout the world to live according to their religious beliefs. Lord, send your spirit to President Trump, that he may glorify you in every success and find consolation from you in every sorrow. Protect his family and enable him to continue to work each day along with the tens of millions who support him to make America great again. Father, we trust in your providence, which from its founding has guided and blessed the United States of America. Grant that this trust may grow and be rewarded as we live our calling to be good citizens on earth and faithful citizens of your heavenly kingdom. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Somebody was asking in the comments, oh, what about the evils of the Republican Party? Yeah, you can specify for us if you like what those evils might be, but I tell you what, people in the Republican Party are praying for forgiveness of whatever sins they may commit each and every day. The Democrats are too busy erasing God from the public square, closing churches, and eliminating prayer. So, you know, the Republicans are kind of carrying their own weight. We have to pray in reparation for the sins of the Democrat Party, for the damage that the Democrat Party is doing. The Republican Party is upholding the principles on which America is based. Go ahead and learn something, if you would. And those who are saying these kinds of things, my goodness, you know, really. We know that we're all sinners. There's no question about that. But that's the point. If you're religious, if you're open to God, like the Republican Party is, you know you're a sinner and you ask forgiveness every day. But when you're so blind that you can't even see your own sins, well, that's the position that this Democrat Party is in. They're advancing evil. They're writing evil into the law. I'm laughing because some people hear this. They hear this kind of prophetic language. When we actually take the word of God and apply it to what's going on, of course, the person who said this, I don't think they hear me because we just kick them off. But they call it hate. Oh, you're not talking the message of Jesus. You're talking hate. Well, anybody who says that doesn't know the message of Jesus in the first place. They don't know it. They don't believe it either. And they don't care about it. Because if they really cared, they would get down on their knees. They'd open their minds and their hearts. They would see the truth. They would reject the Democrats. And they'd start living out the faith the way Jesus Christ intended it to be lived and applied to public policy. So don't give me this garbage about hatred and, oh, you're not following the teachings of Jesus. Those who are saying that don't know the teachings of Jesus from the man in the moon. Psalm 51, I want to go back to that. I like to pray that psalm frequently because that's the prayer of repentance. That's a prayer of reparation. We pray it not only for ourselves individually, because again, we're all sinners, no matter what our political background. But we've got to pray it on behalf of those who don't know how to pray. Oh, Joan, don't worry. When I finish praying, she's asking me where my hat is. As soon as I finish praying, I'm going to put it right on. So Psalm 51, prayer of repentance. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived. Indeed, you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. Purify me, that I may be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. Turn away your face from my sins, blot out all my guilt. A clean heart create for me, O God, put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. I will teach transgressors your ways. Sinners shall return to you. Free me from blood guilt, O God, my saving God. Then my tongue shall revel in your justice. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a holocaust, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Be bountiful, O Lord, to Zion in your kindness by rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocausts offered on your altar. Lord God, we come before you tonight because there is much evil being unleashed on this nation by a party that hates America. A party, O God, that hates you. They want to cleanse our courts, our decisions, our public policies, of any mention of you and of any reliance on you, of any acknowledgement that your law is way above any kind of human law. Lord, this party has rejected the vision of our founding fathers, that indeed religion and morality are indispensable supports of this great experiment in self-governance, an experiment that has succeeded better than any in the history of the world. We are the only country functioning today under its original constitution. Lord, what a thought that is. The only country still functioning under its original constitution. That is, if that isn't a sign of your favor, O God, what is? That isn't a sign of the wisdom of our founding fathers, what could be? Thank you, Lord, for that wisdom. But Lord, we are so sorry, we are so distressed that the Democrat Party has rejected that founding wisdom. They don't turn to you. Lord, it seems like they don't even believe in you. They welcome above all. And where are the faithless people in our country gravitating to? Where are those, O God, who think that you're a fake, you're a myth, you're not real? Where do they gravitate politically? They gravitate to the Democrats. God, we ask your forgiveness for a faithless party. How deep is the darkness when they don't even believe in the God whom our founding fathers put not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in our very brief Declaration of Independence. Lord God, we do believe in you. We do acknowledge that your providence guides this country, that the laws of nature and of nature's God must govern this country. This is what our foundational documents say. Father, we are here to make up in some small way for the lack of faith of so many of our fellow citizens, for the arrogance that makes them think not only that they can rewrite our Constitution from scratch, but Lord, that they could rewrite your holy word. This is the arrogance. This is the evil that we are dealing with right now. Lord God, come and save us. These are people, Lord, that not only reject you, but in rejecting you, Lord, they reject the family. They think that day by day, they can redefine what the family is. They don't acknowledge, Lord, that the family, one man married to one woman and open to life, the nuclear family, the bedrock of civilization, Lord, they don't see this as a creation from you. They see this as something that they can redefine or that anybody can redefine. Lord, that the Democrat platform is filled with all kinds of ideas contrary to your holy word. Filled, overflowing, stinks to high heaven. The stench is offensive, O God. Lord God, we come to you tonight also distressed that this is a party that embraces the killing of children. Lord, your word calls this an abomination. In fact, it was the cause of the exile. Lord, you allowed the Assyrians and the Babylonians to take your own people off of the very land you gave them. Why? Because they stained that land with the blood of their own sons and daughters. That is why it happened. As we read in the second book of Kings, chapter 17 and chapter 24. Father, we come before you because we have a political party in this nation that celebrates the killing of children. That literally celebrates the dismemberment of babies, living babies, dismembered every day by abortions that, Lord, not only do they justify, not only do they want to be kept legal, but that, Lord, this party, this Democrat party, wants us to pay for. This is one of the first things that Biden wants to do if he gets into the Oval Office. He wants to sign an order that will start opening up the floodgates of money. Money taken from our taxpayer dollars to actually go for the killing of children. Lord God, where does this party come from? And why are we cursed with the scourge of this party? Lord, we object. In your holy and mighty name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered and bled and died for us and rose again in his name, we object. We stand up and we object, O God. We do not want this evil in our midst. Father, end the killing of children in our midst and stop the actions of this political party that calls this freedom, calls this women's health. God have mercy. Remove the blindness, Lord. Remove the blindness. Lord, we want to pray in reparation for these people who tear up the Constitution, put activist judges on the courts who betray the will of the people, overturn the votes of the people, who care nothing about security at our borders, want to just open it right up and let everybody and anybody, criminal, friend or foe, just pour on into our country without having necessarily any respect for our own laws, customs, or values. And yet, Lord, they wouldn't want these people arriving at their front door. Oh, they don't want a wall at the border, but they'll put a wall around their house. Have mercy, Lord God. Have mercy on us. We pray in reparation tonight for the damage that this party does. The damage they want to do to our trade deals. Lord God, we have a man who wants to enter the Oval Office now and who says he wants to put us back into the Paris Climate Accord. What a disaster. Putting our country at severe economic disadvantage, never mind the jobs that'll be lost, the businesses that'll be closed, the companies that'll be shuttered, never mind all that. We need to be politically correct and show that we're concerned about the carbon in the air. Lord, have mercy on this utter foolishness, that people who have some kind of respectable positions in society actually believe this garbage. They actually believe this garbage. It's crap. Have mercy, O God, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. Wake us up. We pray in the mighty name of the one Lord, the one Savior, the one hope of humanity, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Listen, I'm glad you're with me, friends. We've got we're on the right side. We know what in the world we're talking about. And I'm glad that you are able to speak up about it, as am I. Put this hat on. Let's wear it proudly. We're only at the beginning of the effort to make America great again. We're going to continue it. President Trump is going to continue to lead it, whether he's president or not. We are moving forward. We're not going away. We're not going to be silent. We're not going to be deterred. We're not going to be discouraged. We're not going to be frightened. We're not going to be divided. We are moving forward. We are moving forward with determination to make America great through the legal and peaceful means that this country has always provided. We know how to use our freedom of speech. We know how to use our freedom of assembly. And we're not going to be defined by the other side. You see, friends, either we define ourselves or we get defined by someone else. This is an important lesson to keep in mind in political life. It's an important lesson to keep in mind in our personal lives. The rule is define or be defined. If you don't define yourself, and I know that you are doing this, God bless you for it, you are doing this, but we always got to remind our fellow citizens, if we don't define ourselves and our movement, then others will take it upon themselves to define us. What do I mean? Well, what are you about? You're about love for America and love for our freedom. They will try to define us as being a threat to America. See, President Trump knows how to define himself. They try to define him through the sham, phony, fake, destructive, unconstitutional, irrational impeachment effort. They try to define him as a threat to our Constitution and democracy. In reality, he's the greatest voice for our Constitution and the greatest defender of our democracy. Define or be defined. We define ourselves. We know what side we are on. We are the lovers of peace. We believe in freedom of assembly. Freedom of assembly doesn't mean violence. Michael is trying to be a pastor here. Let's go. Michael S. What divinity degree do you have? What kind of pastor? Has President Trump come to you as one of his pastoral and spiritual advisors? I know the pastors that minister to him spiritually. They testify, they have said publicly, and they have said to me privately, that rarely have they seen someone more open to the ways and the will of God in his life. Michael is asking a silly question. How many of the Ten Commandments did he break? How many of the Ten Commandments did you break? We are all sinners. Every last one of us. Except Jesus Christ. And in the Catholic faith, we hold Mary as sinless, but only because of Christ, not in place of Christ. But that's it. Yeah, we're all sinners. And you know, we It's a sign of those who don't know their left hand from their right, and you don't know your head from your foot in anything political or patriotic. You don't know what you're doing or saying, Michael. You're one of those that have no idea what they're talking about. When you can't distinguish between honoring and rejoicing in the leadership of one of the greatest presidents that we've had versus canonizing and idolizing somebody, when you can't tell the difference between those things, then you don't know what you're doing. You've probably never had the joy of recognizing a true leader in life. I'm sure, Michael, there are many therapists available that you could take advantage of. Please make an appointment. I'm sure somebody could see you tomorrow. I think the case is urgent. But brothers and sisters, you see what I'm saying. You know, people like this, you know, they come along every once in a while. Oh, you know, they try to make us look silly. Again, it's define or be defined, right? We define ourselves as patriotic Americans who know that America itself and the freedom and the values on which she rests are greater than any one president or presidency. That's why we are not perturbed. We are not discouraged. We're distressed. If President Trump doesn't have a second term, we are distressed by that because it's not good for our country. For him not to be our president right now. It's not good for our country to have a President Biden. But we also know that the country we fight for is way bigger than any president or presidency, good or bad. And that we continue forward with this movement here, making America great, because we believe in its founding. So we define ourselves that way. If we don't define ourselves that way, clearly and loudly and proudly, then the other side tries to come along and say, oh, you're worshipers of Trump. What in the world is wrong with these people? Where do they get these ideas? Oh, you think Trump is perfect? I am completely confident that not a single one of the Trump supporters here, and you know what else I dare say? Not a single one of the 74 million people that voted for him thinks he's perfect. We don't need perfect people. We're not going to find them anyway. We don't need them. We need people who, for example, believe that babies should be protected instead of dismembered. Does it really take a saint to say that? You Biden supporters, what in the world is wrong with you? Oh, we could kill babies. Oh, this is women's reproductive health and health care and freedom of choice. It is not. And it never has been. You don't go around killing babies. And anybody who thinks it's okay to kill a baby, they certainly don't belong in public office. Define or be defined. Brothers and sisters, you make it clear where you stand and you explain what you stand for. And you don't let the other side define you, like somebody else is trying to do in vain, trying to paint us as people who don't care about women. You care about women, you're not going to let them kill their children. You care about women, you're going to do the things that we do. Namely, you reach out to them with alternatives to abortion. You reach out to them with the healing. You want to know how we care about women. You're the ones who were in favor of abortion, the ones who follow the Biden policy of abortion on demand. You couldn't care less about women. You have to get down on your knees and ask forgiveness of every woman. Because you know what you do? You give them a distress and a pain that lasts a lifetime. You give them a grief and despair that are unbelievable. You've probably never talked to somebody that is suffering grief from a past abortion. We do every day because I head up the largest ministry in the world for helping people like that. I'm privileged to be the pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard. Look it up. We're helping women every single day. So be hua. How weird. We're looking, helping women every single day who are devastated by their abortion. SOA knows something about that, I'm sure. You've talked to many of them, right? Talk to them. Listen to them. If you go to silentnomore.com, silentnomore.com, easy to remember, you will see and hear and read the testimonies of those who have been deceived by the Democrats and have had their babies killed. And now they suffer for all their lives. Let me read something for you. You know, the president is working to defend life. We're talking about the pro-life, he's the most pro-life president we have ever had. Proclamation that he made, issued today. He is working right up until the last hour of this first term of his, and he issued this proclamation about National Sanctity of Human Life Day for 2021, which is not today, which is actually Friday, the 22nd of January. Why? Because it was on that day in 1973 that the Roe versus Wade decision was handed down, and that decision legalized abortion throughout pregnancy and unleashed a policy that the Democrats fervently support that has killed, you know, and here we got to keep this in mind when they try to get on their high moral horse about saving lives, saving lives, saving lives. Oh, we got to save lives because with the coronavirus, oh, it's so terrible that we lost so many people. And it is. Oh, we got to save lives, children from gun violence. That's terrible. And it is. Drug abuse. $63 million babies killed by abortion, by legal abortion in this country. I haven't heard any Democrat politician say a single word or shed a single tear over a single one of those babies, and yet nothing has taken more human life than that. Nothing. So, Biden supporters, Democrat supporters, what's the matter? 63 million babies? You can't utter a word about them? They really can't. They cannot utter a word, not a word. Look for it. Look for a word in any of their speeches. Look for a word. Look for a word in any of their speeches. You won't find it. Yeah, scroll back for a second. I want to address one of these guys here that's talking. Scott Zuppo. Enough already. Trump lost. If you can't accept that, you're lost in spreading bad vibes. So is that you want to give us an answer to all the questions that have been raised about who won this election? Go ahead. Just go through them all, because there are thousands of them, thousands of questions. Yeah, maybe you have the answers. I mean, you should go to Washington and present it. You're not in favor of the killing of babies, though. Come on, right? Don't you see what we're doing here? We're praying in reparation for damage being done by a party that has completely lost its way. Where's Danny Islander? This is the 18th of January, 2021. This is the day, 4 years ago. 4 years ago, the left had their heads spinning off. Now, their heads are still spinning off because they've completely dissociated themselves from any kind of love of America, any kind of decency, which Charles lost a long time ago, And any kind of respect for life, which is what I want to read about to you right now. The president made a proclamation today designating January 22nd as National Sanctity of Life Day. Here's the words of the president today. Every human life is a gift to the world. Whether born or unborn, young or old, healthy or sick, every person is made in the holy image of God. The Almighty Creator gives unique talents, beautiful dreams, and a great purpose to every person. On National Sanctity of Human Life Day, we celebrate the wonder of human existence and renew our resolve to build a culture of life where every person of every age is protected, valued, and cherished. This month, we mark nearly 50 years since the United States Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. This constitutionally flawed ruling overturned state laws that banned abortion and has resulted in the loss of more than 50 million innocent lives. But strong mothers, courageous students, and incredible community members and people of faith are leading a powerful movement to awaken America's conscience and restore the belief that every life is worthy of respect, protection, and care. Because of the devotion of countless pro-life pioneers, the call for every person to recognize the sanctity of life is resounding more loudly in America than ever before. Over the last decade, the rate of abortions has steadily decreased, and today, more than 3 out of every 4 Americans support restrictions on abortion. Since my first day in office, I have taken historic action to protect innocent lives at home and abroad. I reinstituted and strengthened President Ronald Reagan's Mexico City policy, issued a landmark pro-life rule to govern the use of Title X taxpayer funding, and took action to protect the conscience rights of doctors, nurses, and organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor. My administration has protected the vital role of faith-based adoption. At the United Nations, I made clear that global bureaucrats have no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that protect innocent life. Just a few months ago, our nation also joined 32 other countries in signing the Geneva Consensus Declaration, which bolsters global efforts to provide better health care to women, protect all human life, and strengthen families. As a nation, restoring a culture of respect for the sacredness of life is fundamental to solving our country's most pressing problems. When each person is treated as a beloved child of God, individuals can reach their full potential. Communities will flourish, and America will be a place of even greater hope and freedom. That is why it was my profound privilege to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life. And it is what motives my actions to improve our nation's adoption and foster care system, secure more funding for Down syndrome research, and expand health services for single mothers. Over the past 4 years, I have appointed more than 200 federal judges who will apply the Constitution as written, including 3 Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. I also increased the child tax credit so that mothers are financially supported as they take on the noble task of raising strong and healthy children. And recently I signed an executive order on protecting vulnerable newborn and infant children, which defends the truth that every newborn baby has the same rights as all other individuals to receive life-saving care. The United States is a shining example of human rights for the world. However, some in Washington are fighting to keep the United States among a small handful of nations, including North Korea and China, that allow elective abortions after 20 weeks. I join with countless others who believe this is morally and fundamentally wrong, And today I renew my call on the Congress to pass legislation prohibiting late-term abortion. Since the beginning, my administration has been dedicated to lifting up every American, and that starts with protecting the rights of the most vulnerable in our society, the unborn. On National Sanctity of Human Life Day, we promise to continue speaking out for those who have no voice. We vow to celebrate and support every heroic mother who chooses life. And we resolve to defend the lives of every innocent and unborn child, each of whom can bring unbelievable love, joy, beauty, and grace into our nation and our entire world. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim January 22nd, 2021, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Today, I call on the Congress to join me in protecting and defending the dignity of every human life, including those not yet born. I call on the American people to continue to care for women in unexpected pregnancies and to support adoption and foster care in a more meaningful way so that every child can have a loving home. And finally, I ask every citizen of this great nation to listen to the sound of silence caused by a generation lost to us, and then to raise their voices for all affected by abortion, both seen and unseen. In witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand, this 17th day of January in the year of our Lord, 2021, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 245th, Donald J. Trump, President. This is a powerful statement. It's a beautiful statement. It contains a lot of history of the accomplishments of the last 4 years, history that is unpacked in more detail. If you go to prolifepresident.com, one of the websites we've set up, you'll be able to read in more detail what each of those sentences means when he talks about the things that he has done to protect human life. prolifepresident.com. But what you'll also find in this statement is an important challenge to the Democrats. Do you really think that we should be among a small handful of nations like China and North Korea allowing abortion throughout pregnancy, even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th months of pregnancy, that these babies would still not be protected? And the Democrats won't even take steps to protect babies already born alive after a failed abortion. What's up with that? They can't explain it. They don't explain it. They purposely don't even talk about it. But we need to talk about it, and our president talks about it, and we need to stop this wholesale violence of abortion. We need to stop it. We need to build a better culture of life. So thank God for this statement. Let's observe. Let's get ready for and observe this Friday, the 22nd, as a day when we really redouble our efforts on behalf of the unborn. And you can do that in union with us. By the way, you can find this statement on our website, endabortion.us, endabortion.us. And let's spread it to others. Share this video. Thank you for doing that. And let's live out this pro-life commitment with great gratitude to this president for all the pro-life accomplishments that he and his team have achieved. I've worked with so many of them in achieving these things, and we're going to continue to. Now we need to defend the good that has been accomplished in this pro-life arena. We need to defend it. We need to defend it right now, and we need to awaken our fellow citizens to why they need to defend it too. God bless you, friends. May the Lord send you His Holy Spirit Strengthen your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Answer all your prayers, protect your loved ones, and make you strong defenders of life and of America and of our president. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we will go enjoy a peaceful sleep. And the haters will go to have a troubled sleep. Upset and perturbed by the falsehood and the evil that they embrace. Far from God. Far from peace. Far from logical coherence, far from personal integration. Those who have come here because they hate us have made a big mistake. Their peace will evade them. It will elude them. But we, brothers and sisters, united in the Spirit, may we rest peacefully in the Lord and be ready tomorrow to work twice as hard and twice as joyfully and victoriously for what we are doing. And he's not right. He doesn't sleep well at night. He's walking in the darkness. You stumble when you walk in the darkness. You're not on the way of God. You'll see me at 3 o'clock in the morning in your nightmares. You watch. Almighty, let's give another blessing. Let's give a blessing to those that are so trapped in the darkness right now that they don't even know where they're going. May the Lord liberate you. May he open your eyes. Let the scales fall from the encrusted, immoral, evil, and wicked, twisted, demented spirit in your head. May he free you, set you free, lift you up, because Almighty God has created you and he wants you released from the snares of the devil. May he send his Spirit upon all who are in such blindness and darkness that they can't even see the cancer that is right now eating away at their soul. May he free them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. One other thing I should tell you, friends, before we go. This is the beginning of the week of prayer for Christian unity. And again, I want to express my joy at so many of you who are with us that belong to various other denominations of the body of Christ, and we thank you for what you do and the witness that you give to the gospel. We're all in this kingdom together, and so traditionally, from January the 18th through the 25th, Christians have prayed a week of prayer for Christian unity, and we join in those prayers in these coming days that, as Jesus prayed, we his disciples might be one, that the world may believe that the Father sent him. So God bless you, friends. Good night, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience. So I appreciate you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.